Hi, it's Diane. I'm here on Wednesday, September 28th. I'm here with Tess and Judy so far. Let's see if anybody else joins us. Oh, we got Laura just joined us as well. Hi, Laura.
Hello. Sorry.
No worries. So we've got a small group today, but what I want to do just before we start, because I know we've got a lot of new people in the program and they may not have been able to join us for the first call and might be just listening to the recording. I want to kind of take a minute and welcome everybody and make sure everybody has access to the workbook for today to remind people that we did change the password, and there was an email that went out yesterday to everybody with the new password in it. And so we hope that you didn't have any issues kind of getting in. And today, what I'm going to do is kind of generally on a call, we start by everybody kind of checking in. And typically we'll ask you to say one thing you're celebrating. If you have one thing you're struggling with as well, certainly feel free to share that. But that it's just really kind of a, hey, what's happened since the last time we've talked? And then we'll take aim. And today we're going to actually talk about taking aim and the process of taking aim. And I'll actually coach you, each of you, through taking aim as part of the conversation for today. And so we'll do it in a little bit different order, but the second thing we do is take aim. And then I'll do a teaching each week. And the workbook walks us through the lessons. It doesn't matter when you're starting. The workbook kind of, we are on the second lesson in September this week, because it's the second time we've met in September. And so if you're listening to this and it's January, this may be your first week, and so we just kind of invite people to pop in as they join the program and leave when they're done, and then just kind of do the lessons in the order that they come in. And then after the training, we'll have some conversation about the thing that I trained on. We have time. We'll do some laser coaching on maybe your key challenges or the area that you're taking aim on. And then at the end of each call, we'll answer the four questions in the workbook at the end of each chapter, and I'll ask everybody to do a formal checkout and say, you know, here's an aha I had, and here's what I'm going to do with the information that I learned today. So any questions just generally about format or logistics or issues for the folks that are new? I know, Laura, you were on our call yesterday, so you get logistics twice. All right, so let's move into check-in. So Tess, can you check in for us first and just give everybody a sense of celebration and what's going on? Oh, and because there are some new folks today, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, you know, I live here and I've got a kid who is this, you know, I've got a son who's, I live in Atlanta, and I have two teenagers. I have a daughter who's 15 and a son who's 17, both of whom have ADHD, and my daughter has anxiety as well. So, Tess, do you mind checking in for me?
Sure. Hi. So this is Tess. I'm a parent in Southern California, and I've got two boys, two teens, a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. And neither of them has been diagnosed with ADD. I, however, have been diagnosed, but I have strong suspicions that my younger one has been diagnosed. And I mean, it seems whether or not he's diagnosed, this program still is very helpful. But I'm also, I guess my big celebration is I'm admitting and acknowledging that I do need a group and support group like this Parent Success System, and that I'm not giving up on myself or my kids, and I just want to continue to learn and grow. I want to really apply myself this year and perhaps get out of the denial. And I think there's still a bit of denial, you know, thinking that either I can get over this ADD, not necessarily get over it, but have much more control over my life, and as well as my kids. But I don't know, there's a lot I want to talk about, but I guess I'll wait to listen to Diane's talk and try to just take aim on one particular item for this morning. But I'm so happy to be here. Thanks.
Well, Tess, I'm glad that you're here too. What it's so refreshing to hear the recommitment, and you know, I think that for the new folks, I think that One of the things I would say is that a lot of the parents in our groups that have ADHD themselves find that a lot of things open up for them through this program because they learn a lot more about themselves as well as about their kids. And so I know, Tess, that's something that's important and valuable to you, and so I'll hold that for you. Judy or Laura, can you check in?
This is Judy. I live in New York City, and I have a son who is just about to turn 15 next week. He was diagnosed with ADHD when he was 10, and my husband afterwards kind of took a little while to realize that he has ADHD too, and was diagnosed about a year and a half ago. And I'm not diagnosed with ADHD, but I'd say my struggles are with anxiety. So that's a cousin, I guess, in one way. I'm really happy to start with this group. In terms of the celebration, for I guess that's a celebration, and just to start. And I guess celebration is that my son's, he had a good summer, and he's really growing up right now, and he was on medication since he was diagnosed, and then he's been off of it for the first time since mid-June, and kind of just looking at what's happening and then taking a new baseline, and I'm kind of happy that we were able to just do that. So that's my celebration.
Well, it's nice to kind of go back and kind of say, okay, recalibrate, and you feel like you're kind of getting a fresh start. I love that.
Cool.
Thanks.
Okay, hi, this is Lori. I live in Evanston, right outside of Chicago. I have a 13-year-old daughter who I adopted from Russia as a baby, and she's been diagnosed with ADD probably when she was in second grade or so. And because of her, she's very slender, so stimulants, while they've worked tremendously, pediatrician, basically she can't be on long-term ones because of her weight. So we're kind of struggling with other behavioral, trying to come up with some other things in lieu of the medicine. This is my first week, and I participated in yesterday's call, but I'm not sure if my schedule, if I'm going to be on Tuesday or Wednesday, so I wanted to at least introduce myself to those other people on the Wednesday call and get to know them in case I end up being a Wednesday person. So I probably won't be participating so much, so you guys can have more time with Diane.
Well, we've got a small group today, Lori, so it ended up perfect. So I appreciate that. And I want to encourage you. Did you get Sanity School as part of your Parent Success System membership? I don't know when you purchased your program, if you got the special or not.
Sanity School, what was it? I'm sorry.
Because some of the people who purchased during our original special got a copy of Sanity School as well. I was going to encourage you to listen to some of the recordings on Activate the Brain. Is that to help you with some of the questions you were talking about with your daughter and the medication?
I watched your webinar on that, and I remember that. And so we kind of run around a little bit, and she gets that cheese stick instead of Cheetos and things to try to before we sit down for homework. So that helps. Fortunately, when she has a significant amount of homework, we do have a short-term thing of Ritalin, which she now is old enough to recognize that it really does help her. So that's a good solution while she's trying to gain weight.
Well, and it's great that you found something that, you're comfortable with and that it seems like is a good fit for her. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just I want to keep checking and making sure nobody else has joined us. So today we're going to talk about taking aim. And we do the entire workbook throughout the year, and this time of year we've got quite a few folks that are brand new, and so we take a minute to kind of go back to one of the basics in our program and a core assumption, which is taking aim, and we're going to be on page 18 and 19 of the workbook today. And I think that it's it's an important reminder, and I was just thinking about this for myself this morning as well, but there are so many different challenges that we deal with as parents of kids with ADHD. And I don't know if you guys looked at the workbook ahead of time, but, you know, we talk about the 6 key challenge areas, and those are on page 8 of the workbook. But, you know, it never fails that when we talk to parents that we've never met before, you know, we've been to London, we've been to Australia, we've talked to audiences kind of all over the place. And, you know, these six kind of key areas are what we notice more than anything else are where the challenges live. And there's a lot of them, right? And so I was thinking about, you know, just getting my kids up and out the door in the morning and from, you know, my alarm goes off at 6 and I finally sit back down at my desk at 8 after I drop both my kids off and kind of take a deep breath or exhale, which is depending on the day. And it's like you think about kind of all the challenges you encounter from the pillow to the bus stop. And, you know, whether it's compliance or it's distraction or it's emotional intensity or it's forgetting homework or whatever it is, it never fails that there's some challenge area. And so one of the things we teach very early on is this concept of taking aim. And it doesn't mean that any one of the challenges that we're focusing in on is more or less important, but it does mean that a key part of setting yourself and your family up for success is getting very specific and tackling things one thing at a time. And I think that we do that for a couple of reasons. One is that it's easy to get lost in overwhelm. I mean, if you're trying to keep track of, even just, you know, think about reward systems. And in one of the webinars, Elaine and I were talking about reminder systems and reward systems and how the first one we created was just this kind of long list of like 27 things that you got points for this and points taken away for that. And it lasted maybe a day because it just nobody could keep track of it. It was hard to be consistent. Even some of the simplest systems and structures that you put in place are hard to keep consistent. And the other piece of this is that often the first strategy we try doesn't work, and I'm guessing you guys probably already know that. This is about, really, a lot of times it's about detective work, and it's about trying different things. And sometimes the thing that works on Tuesdays doesn't work on Thursdays. And so we've got to kind of make an adjustment and figure out kind of how to approach it differently. And so it's about staying flexible and staying focused at the same time, but it's hard to do that when you're trying to tackle everything at once. The other thing is that we know that the solution lay or that success breeds success, right? And that if we have some good progress in one area, we can learn from it and apply some of that information to another challenge area. And we also know that success is really motivating. And Laura, we were on the call yesterday, and someone was saying, it may have even been you, that, you know, you take aim and your child goes, wow, I did this. I was successful. And it's like, okay, I want to try something else. And so we know that success can be motivating for both ourselves and for our kids. And so so there's lots of great reasons for taking aim, but the bottom line is that we want to take aim because it really does help to move the situation forward much more effectively. And again, it doesn't mean that you aren't going to tackle something else. And every time we get together, you know, feel free to take aim on something else. Yesterday we were joking that, you know, sometimes you take aim for 6 months on the same thing, and sometimes you take aim on it for, you know, a day because it's the most hot thing on your mind. But it's just more about consciously deciding, what am I focusing on? And so at each of these calls, we're going to take aim. And the way that I like to think about this is you start at a macro level. You start at probably maybe even one of those 6 challenge areas on page 8, and you say, okay, for me, the example I gave was mornings, right? So mornings is a logistical challenge, which is one of the 6 challenge areas. So if I just focus in on mornings and I say, okay, I'm going to take aim on mornings, that's still a really big thing. I mean, all of the steps in there, do I have a hard time even getting my child out of bed in the morning? Yes, I do. Do I have a hard time keeping my child from getting distracted by her electronics between, you know, the time she wakes up and the time she gets out the door? Yes, I do. Do we have a hard time getting them a healthy breakfast? Sometimes. Do you have a hard time kind of getting them out of the house and actually into the car? You know, there's all of these different places. So if you narrow it down even more closely and say, okay, I'm going to just take aim on helping my child to independently get out of the bed in the morning, as a place to start. Once I get that stuff down, then I can kind of tackle the next one and the next one and the next one. The other thing that's important is, and I just kind of alluded to it, is that if we take aim on something, we want to always check and make sure that it's a realistic expectation. So that's later in the loop as we go through the parenting action model. But I make that comment because I corrected myself. Instead of saying getting out of bed independently, I said getting out of bed more independently, because I know that for my kids, it's not realistic for him to just go from where he's at right now to completely getting up on his own. So it doesn't mean we aren't working on steps towards that. The other piece about this is that we want to make sure that we take aim on the challenge rather than the solution. It's really easy to say, I'm going to take aim on getting my child to use their planner so that they can capture their homework assignment. And that may ultimately be the solution that you end up putting in place as you work on a challenge. But if you start with a challenge, which is I'm going to take aim on helping my child to capture his or her assignment, it's going to leave it open a little bit more for that curiosity step, which is the next one after we take aim, to go, okay, what is really going on and why is it hard for them to capture the assignments? And is it the same in all of his classes? And what are the options for how he might capture assignments? And what does he really want to do to capture assignments? And what works for his brain? And all these other sorts of things, as opposed to if we take aim on a solution, which is often our solution. In this group, we've got older kids, right? So they're teenagers. Part of what we're trying to do is to help them to begin to come up with their own systems and structures. And so if we're constantly throwing solutions at them and trying to fix things, their involvement in the process is very different than if we're working with them and partnering and collaborating with them to find solutions to challenges that either we observe or that they are aware of as well. So that's just a little bit about taking aim. Does everybody, let me just ask, what questions do you have around what I just shared?
This is Judy. I have a question about, you're referring to page 8 in the workbook for the challenges? Is that what?
Yeah, is that the wrong page? Maybe we have a typo in there.
I'm not sure because I'm looking here. It says these are the six, there's 6 steps in the parenting action model. Take aim,
education.
You know
what? It's a typo. Am I reading it wrong? Because I was reading off the page. The short answer is it's on page 5, but I need to look and see because sometimes when we make edits into the workbook and add pages, we forget to check and see if we referenced back to another page. So I will we'll fix that.
Fine. Just there's 6
All right, so did you find it?
Okay.
It's on page 5. Yeah. There's 6 key challenges.
Okay, it's not a big deal. I could easily have just scrolled down. Okay,
but I appreciate you calling it out. Thank you.
Okay.
So when you look, Judy, when you look at those 6 key challenge areas, is there one that pops out for you as the one that you're like, oh, this is where I usually live when I'm looking at my challenges?
Well, you know, I'm looking at all of them, but I think the most important one for me and hardest for me to address is the self-care, which I guess is impact on the parent. Is that, would that be?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know where self-care is in here, but that's...
No, self-care would be, self-care might be a solution to the challenge of the fact that I'm all stressed out and worn out and overwhelmed or whatever it is that you're feeling.
So get up is life, that's life logistics.
Yep, getting up and out the door would be a logistics issue. Yep,
right.
We call it morning mania is what we call it.
Mhm. Yeah. So I think which one would be the one to organization?
Organization.
Okay. Would be.
Well, I see somebody else joined from New York. I see a second New York number. Who's on besides Judy?
Hi, it's Lisa Gillette.
Hi, Lisa. Glad you could join us. Can I just take a step back? We've got a couple of new folks on the call today. Lisa, can you just introduce yourself and do this quick celebration?
Ooh, quick celebration. Okay, so I've been doing this for a while. I think I'm coming up on my year anniversary, but I'm kind of in and out
I use it on an as-needed basis. I'm on and off calls, and I listen to the recordings. I just reprinted the manual with the updates. I got it bound at Kinko's. I have a 16-year-old son, and I have a 14-year-old son and a 7-year-old son. So the, I guess the impetus for participating in the program was more the 16-year-old, and a celebration is that he started his junior year, and I'm happy to say that he is turning in homework and engaged in school like I've never seen. So I'm really excited.
Wow, that's really exciting, Lisa. What do you think is different?
I think it's the motivation level is there. Just a lot of kids talking about getting ready for college, doing college visits. You know, it's just that time of high school where everyone's, you know, buckling down and trying to do the best they can in terms of grades so they can get into the colleges of choice. So that has a lot to do with it. A new girlfriend has a lot to do with it, who's pushing him, kind of taking my place, which I am pleased about. So that helps a lot. And I think just, I don't know, maybe it's just, I think he really likes his teachers. That helps. It's just, it's like a whole new world for me. This is just unprecedented. So, I mean, it's like a couple weeks in, but, you know, I hope we can sustain it. That's, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's the pessimistic side of me.
And it's a natural reaction to kind of go, whoa, how long is this going to last, and be a little suspicious of it. And I guess the thing that I'm hearing, what you're saying more than anything else, is the role that motivation does play. And we know that inherently, that the ADHD brain doesn't do anything well unless it's genuinely interested. And so I guess, you know, with a 16-year-old, I wonder what a conversation with him might look like to say, hey, I noticed how things are different for you when you've got some motivations. What do you think of that, or something in that realm? How does that feel for you?
I think he seems like he's more engaged. However, I think there's with some trepidation, like, how long can I keep this up? It's stressing me out. You know, I really, you know, he's very much an anxious person, and we're, you know, dealing with that piece as well. And it's very much school related. So that piece is kind of coming up again. So I think as we get more into the year, I just have to watch it and, you know, just be mindful of doing all the things that I can do to support him. You know, but he's getting to that point. I was listening to you about the morning time where, you know, not quite ready to let go, but I feel like junior year, I mean, you kind of have to have some natural consequences if you're going to be ready for college. So trying to pull back on that a little bit in terms of, you know, letting him fall a little bit.
Yeah, so. It's hard. It's hard to know when, you know, we can talk about this a little bit more if we have time for laser coaching, but it's that fine balance of, you know, do the natural consequences work? And if not, then you roll back. And if they do, then that maybe that's good motivation. It's because he really wants to get there on time, and he can figure out how to catch himself. And maybe he's not ready for it. And so part of it is that detective work and that partnering. And my 17-year-old and I have been focused for the last few months. We've been taking aim on helping him get out of bed in the morning, because he really wants to get to school on time. And it frustrates him when he doesn't, when his alarm goes off for half an hour and he can't get himself out of bed. It's just, he doesn't understand why it's working the way it's working. So,
well,
you're in good company, Lisa.
I think you have to celebrate, you know, I'll enjoy it, but with trepidation, I guess. And that's maybe the life of a parent with learning, you know, with a son or a daughter with learning challenges. Like, you just kind of have to guard your celebrations a little bit. Like, yay, I'm happy. Like, this is a possibility. Like, we could actually, you know, be in a relatively good place. But also, you also have to kind of be mindful that, you know, there's still support that's going to be needed there.
Yeah. So can I ask you a question about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does the trepidation help you?
Well, I think it's just, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, or I'm not, you know, indicating that, you know, to my child at all, but I think just hoping that it lasts and hoping that he's, you know, maturing and figuring things out a little bit more than, let's say, the last year or years previous, so that he's on a good path to figuring it out. So I guess that's like, I'm not thinking he's completely ready to launch right now, but I feel like he's in a good place to start the year.
Yeah, no, and the reason I ask is because I think a lot of us do the same thing you're doing, Lisa. I don't think, I mean, it's not like you're doing anything wrong. You're doing something very normal. And I think a lot of us were raised with this mindset that it's kind of like expect the best but prepare for the worst. And what's become apparent to me as I've been talking to parents and in my own personal life is that if we spend a lot of energy being worried about something, or worried that the other shoe's going to drop, or, you know, whatever's going to happen, that it takes up a lot of extra energy for us. And it's kind of like being as conscious as we can about when are we worrying and when are we just celebrating, and how do both of those things help us. So I don't know. It looks like Lisa might have.
I'm here now.
You totally missed my speech. I gave a cool speech.
I know.
I was just going to say, it was just kind of like, that a lot of times we expect the best, but we prepare for the worst. And it's kind of like the question is, how much stress does that produce for all of us? Is kind of like if we're focusing on the, oh, wow, what if this happens, it's gonna be more stressful than if we just focus on, what is working and celebrate what is working. And I know we're all resourceful parents. And so if we find out 2 months from now that it starts to slip, we'll catch it. We'll jump back in. We'll do what we need to do, and we'll help our kids out again. But I just am curious how much stress it produces for all of us, not just you, when we focus on kind of wondering whether the shoe's going to drop. That was my speech.
Yeah, probably not so. I mean, I think that being a part of this group has just helped me to not get so dramatic about what's happening. Just like, this is our reality and we'll get through it. So I feel more confident to weather the storm, whatever storm there may be or may not be. You know, I'm just some more pragmatic about it. Like, it is what it is, but we'll get through it. And, you know, we're doing all we can. So we can't really force it to be one way or another. We're just trying to support and guide along the way the best we can.
Yep, that makes perfect sense. So going back, so any other questions on taking aim? I know, Lisa, so let's just kind of go around, and you should be taking aim. Lisa, do you want to start since we're just chatting here?
Well, I think I'm going to pass. I'm going to think about it because I didn't.
Okay. Great. So is anybody ready to take aim? And what I'm going to do for each of you is just kind of, it may be that you nail it first time, but I'm going to take a minute and just kind of help you to get as specific as possible, because that's really the challenge here is we want to be specific and we want to be focused on the challenge rather than the solution. So who can I ask somebody to volunteer to go ahead?
Well, I started Judy here, so maybe I should just with the organization. So
okay.
Might as well continue with that. So I guess that's an overall challenge, and now I need to be more specific.
Well, so let me ask you a question, because it was interesting, because you started with self-care. I was going to ask you this. You started with self-care, and then you went to organization. Is there a reason that you wanted to change from self-care to organization, Judy?
No, it was more just trying to, I just kind of thinking that I need to be more organized to get to the solution, which was self-care, you know.
Okay. All right. Because I thought, so that's good to know. So it's your organization, not his. So that's good. Okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just wanted to check in on that one. So organization. So tell me specifically what's the challenge for you with organization?
Let's see. So I guess maybe keeping all the pieces together that are related to him being organized, right? So it's kind of, I don't know how to separate myself being organized. I mean, there's, you know, like, I guess we could just do the morning. That might be the easiest to start with, the beginning of the day, the morning organization. So, like, for example, this morning he... You know, I'm trying to make sure everything he's going to get everything out of the door with everything on time without being too bossy. And every time it always ends up being, and he said to me today, you're all on top of me, you know, like, so I wrote a list out for him to just check when he leaves, you know, instead of me bugging him about everything. And then, but then I have to read out the list, you know, because if he reads it, so is that organization? If he reads it,
well,
he won't
so the question is, yeah, so the question is kind of coming up for me, is it about helping him come up with a system to remember everything? Is it about you being clear on what your role is without being bossy? Is it, which one feels like the place to start?
Him to come up with a system?
Okay. So you need a system to make sure that he remembers everything that needs to be done. So what would happen if you didn't do anything, how independent is he flowing through the morning and knowing what needs to be done before he gets to the door?
I'd say about like 70%. Like,
okay, and where does it break down?
Where does it break down? Depends on the day, I think, but let's see if I can be more specific. He could forget, he'll often forget to take he's taking these homeopathic supplements, so he'll forget to take that. Even though I put the bottle right next to his breakfast, and I, you know, next to the glass of water, and even if I tell him, sometimes he won't remember to take it. Something like that. Or like he just got these rubber bands to put in his mouth and this morning he forgot to put them back in. Or, you know.
So really it is remembering all the little steps that he has to do on his way out the morning. Okay. So what's his motivation to do the things that he's typically forgetting?
I don't know. Because he'll motivate, well, he'll get out the door and then he'll text me that he forgot something or, you know, he'll get upset that he didn't remember something.
Okay. And when if he forgets what, and he texts you, what typically happens?
Well, either I say, it's okay, don't worry about it too much, you know, or I used to get annoyed, but I'm trying not to do that. So I'm just trying to let it go, but that's also like, so what kind of consequence is there? But it's hard to find the consequence, really. You know, he has some anxiety too, so he's kind of don't want to get too anxious.
You were talking about anxiety earlier, and so it's kind of like you don't want to create anxiety for him. So I guess the question I'm asking, so on a scale of 0 to 10, how interested is he in solving the challenge of remembering everything?
I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that. You know, because he's kind of.
That might be the place to start. It's kind of like, you know, you're taking aim on helping him come up with a system for remembering everything in the morning, but it sounds like before that, there's a step which is to really kind of help him even figure out what's his engagement with the stuff he has to do in the morning.
Right.
So how would you articulate kind of where you want to focus and take aim?
It's the, you know, to talk to him about taking aim on finding out what his engagement is in remembering things in the morning.
I think that's kind of this fine line because you're taking aim on him and helping him with a system, but the first step is to figure out whether he really wants a system or what he's really thinking about, that sort of thing. So it's kind of one of those sort of in-between things. How does that feel?
Yeah, to find out what he wants in the morning. Yeah, that feels good.
Okay.
The step before. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Who's
Thank
next? Lori, do you want to share where you took aim yesterday? Has it changed from yesterday to what you want to focus on today?
No, but I applied it yesterday. So I,
awesome.
My daughter continues to have just issues with homework, just everything from remembering what to do to getting it done to doing it thoroughly to missing answering questions and only answering part of them. So I was trying to get down to a more detailed task, and we kind of focused on that I was going to take aim at working with her to have her be able to recognize the multiple parts and questions. And then I thought, well, of that, let's just do one subject to start, because my daughter, even if you say a 5-minute addition to homework, she doesn't like that at all. So I thought, let's just explain. I explained to her what we're doing. She knows that I just started this parenting class. It's not a class for her. It's a class for me. And so we went and just kind of went over her math. And there's only about two of the course. When I start doing it, it wasn't so applicable, but there were two of the worksheet, two questions that she was able to say, okay, now they're asking this, and then they say explain. So you can't just write the answer. You have to explain how you got it. And so she was welcome to that. So it was a good effort. So we're going to keep doing that, and hopefully she'll at least understand that, hey, you know, then she can't question why she sometimes gets an incomplete on some of her homework, because it's not, she hasn't addressed all the different things. I'm just telling her to slow down and reread things. So that was, it's worked great yesterday, so we'll see.
Awesome. So when you kind of go back and put your curiosity goggles back on, what do you, you know, after doing it with her yesterday, what insight do you have into what's going on with her brain that's making it hard for her to notice that secondary part of the question?
She's trying to get it done quickly, and she had a lot of homework yesterday. And I said one of the things that we tried a while ago was to schedule out her homework, to say, okay, you have math. How many minutes do you think it'll take you? And then we put it down. And then after you do it, you say, okay, you said that you took 20 minutes, but it really took you 40 minutes. So basically to help the next time you're figuring out how much time you're going to need. So when she said that sometimes she rushes through things and she gets nervous, because then I said to her, I said, well, you're starting math. And she had kind of laid out how she wanted to tackle things, including breaks. She does math and she takes a 10-minute break. And then she, and so she started to say, no. I said, well, why don't we just time it? How much time? She goes, no, I don't want to put a time on it because it makes me nervous and then I have to rush. So I realized that. I said, okay. So I said, I just kind of kept track myself, and I explained to her the benefit of just overall. So you don't get, if you say 20 minutes and actually every day is taking you 40, so then let's just say 40 minutes. So then you don't get stressed out, and then you also know that it takes you longer. So if you're planning on doing something else, you know. So I think it's just a matter of small tasks, giving her the time, setting it up in a way that she has to be successful for a while before we do it. You know, so I said, okay, let's just identify the different parts of the math homework. So we're not focusing on you having to do them all, but just at least you recognize the different things. And it was successful because we approached it that way. So.
Awesome. Well, and so it sounds like you're kind of getting into the groove with her and in terms of exploring some of these options. It sounds like you're making some good progress even after the first day. Congratulations.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome. So Tess or Lisa, let's go through the exercise of taking aim.
This is Lisa. I'll go.
Thanks.
My challenge or my taking aim would be to, my son is in, he has an IEP, and this year he has a dual teacher model in the classes he struggles with, which are language arts and history. So my challenge is to, with compassion and curiosity, to kind of help him to maximize the support in the classroom, because I can already see in his weakest subject, which is history, he's already feeling like he wants to go down a level because he's feeling overwhelmed by the amount of work every day. So I'm going to try to work with the support teacher, because I kind of wanted to see how things would go before stepping in and, you know, being in communication with the co-teacher. that's my challenge, is really trying to figure out, kind of with his input, because he's older now and can be more expressive about what he needs, and making sure that, you know, he feels comfortable and confident in his weakest subjects.
Well, so I'm hearing a couple of things, Lisa. I'm hearing helping him to manage his overwhelm. And then I heard you talk about maximizing, you know, help in class. And I guess if we're focusing more on the problem versus the solution, how would you really identify, you know, what the real challenge is for him? Is it the overwhelm? Is it something that leads to the overwhelm? Where do you focus your energy?
I think maybe challenging the overwhelm and having the confidence and the tools to kind of tackle that. And there's different ways we're kind of addressing that with a new therapist that I think he really likes, to have outside help for that. But, yeah, I think the overwhelm is the overriding factor in all of this, is kind of how do we handle the overwhelm in the subjects that he is most overwhelmed by, which are writing and, you know, basically English and history. The history is probably the most challenging, but we're to just narrow it down to one area.
Yeah, no,
but
I like that, your idea of narrowing it down to one area. I guess the question comes up is kind of, do you want him to decide where to focus? Do you want to recommend where to focus? Or do you want to tell him where you want to focus?
Well, I think it's just being supportive, I guess, and helping him to kind of come up with things that work for him that he can use in the moment that will get him through, you know, whatever he's overwhelmed by. So that tends to be most of the time that he's overwhelmed, so that is kind of a challenge. That's a very big challenge.
Yeah, well, and I guess so if you know in your head, you're focusing on helping him manage his overwhelm, and it's kind of that general sort of thing, and then you kind of stay in that place of curiosity for a while and see, you know, where are the areas where he tends to be a little bit more overwhelmed, or you think that there might be an opportunity, or he might be really interested. And so it's kind of a dynamic where you're engaged, you know, trying to engage him in conversations, trying to engage him in problem solving. It sounds like you've got the connection in with a therapist, so it might be something you can plant the seed with a therapist around. But then he kind of frames what does he most want, and then you can redirect your efforts on supporting him with what he wants. Which is a little bit different than a more general kind of focusing, taking aim on his overwhelm generally. How does that feel?
Well, I think I was just thinking of something as you were talking that I could kind of narrow it down to my reaction to things that probably increase his overwhelm and anxiety, tackling that, like trying to not react to his overwhelm in a way that makes him more overwhelmed. And that is something we're actually working with a therapist, both of us. It's funny that he wanted me to be there for our sessions, so that, because he feels like he's making progress on that. Because I feel like the overwhelm is sometimes exacerbated by parents and interactions with their children. So I think maintaining composure when overwhelm is clearly happening, you know, just being curious and compassionate and maintaining that consistently, I think that would help a lot.
Yeah. So, okay. So if you had the bottom line where you're going to take aim, how would you articulate it?
Yeah, we've been speaking in general terms. I think just being, I think I've been doing a pretty good job on being less reactive, and he's actually said that to me, like, you know, I just have not been as much on his case about homework, and because he's really trying to take ownership of everything himself. But that does, you know, I think just being supportive, I guess, bottom lining, just and kind of trying to be even even though I might feel anxious, you know, when he's anxious and when he's overwhelmed, I tend to be kind of enmeshed in it sometimes. I'm trying to, I guess, detach myself from that a little bit.
So what I'm hearing is that you want to take aim on consistently supporting him when he gets overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Awesome.
That sounds good.
Okay. Cass, you're up.
Sorry, I've been unmuting myself. Okay. Well, it's been great to hear from everyone and, you know, and then also in hearing your talk, you know, I think, you know, it makes me realize that, you know, I actually do have celebrations and much to be grateful for it. I'm changing my perspective and really seeing that, you know, for the most part in general or as a whole, things have been going well, or at least getting better compared to the end of last school year. And I think that's what, why at the beginning of this year, I can easily get very overwhelmed and anxious. Because I think about the past and how my son was, you know, starting to goof around at the end, toward the end of last year and not turning homework in and all of that. But, you know, he's actually been, you know, taking ownership, as I've heard another say, on his own. And actually he's doing quite well. He's got, right now he's got, I celebrate that he's got all A's except, and one B. And I've been doing my best to, you know, support.
Did we lose you, Tess? Did you hit? I can't hear you right now, Tess. Are you there? Can everybody else hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Tess, I wonder if you hit. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I think my headphone
battery. Is your battery down? Never fails. Never fails.
Yeah. So, you know, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think what I need to focus on most right now is me and my stuff getting organized so that I don't get overly anxious and feel overwhelmed myself. And then in that sense, I know that I'm triggered to then look at the boys and I'll start to nag them. And if they're not doing something that I think they should be doing, I get, you know, it seems like I'm even harder on them, but it's really because I'm not doing what I need to be doing at that moment, or I've neglected to do something. Because I think they're actually both doing quite well, and I'm trying to be supportive, and I'm letting them know that, you know, if you need any tutors, you know, please let me know. I can book that up for you. And we did have one booked up, but he was resistant and saying, no, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need her, and it just wasn't as helpful anymore. And so far, he's been doing fine without, and he's been getting up on his own in the morning now without me having to, you know, snooze along with him and get him up and out, even though he started an earlier zero period class, which gets all of us up even more early. That's
yeah.
So far, it's been working out, but it was
stressful. They got a lot of stuff that's working really well. I just, the question that kind of popped into my head because you were talking about the tutors is kind of how aware are you, or how open is he to sharing when he is having trouble compared to when things are going well?
He's at that point he seems to be open. But then in the past it was like when things were already getting, you know, starting to really go downhill, where he was missing a number of assignments and that I didn't even know about. And, you know, was upset about that, you know, because he was lying to me, saying that he did turn them in. Or then even after meeting the tutor, you know, he said that he would keep up with it or get caught up on it. And I was trusting him to do so, and he wasn't fully following through on that. And so that kind of worried me. It did. I was worried and anxious about that. And so I was thinking, okay, for sure he's going to need, you know, someone to help him, you know, with executive functioning skills, helping him to, you know, start the week off with a plan so that he knows, you know, what to do for the entire week, not just what to do the next day, because that's my tendency. I'll procrastinate and cram everything the night before, and I know that doesn't work.
But at the same time, I know with the ADD brain, you know, you just, it doesn't even, I mean, like, even with myself, it doesn't phase me sometimes until the night before and or whatever, when something's due and I'm running behind with other things myself.
Yeah.
And
well,
I
so
get
you've got this.
About that.
Yeah, so you've got this great observation because you can see life through your lens as an ADHD adult, and you can see the things that are going really well. I guess the question that's coming to me, Tess, is how do you keep front of mind his agenda in front of what might be your agenda, whether it's your solutions, your identification of his challenges, whatever else it is. At 16, we want them to kind of be focused on what they want to work on more than what we want to work on. So how would you move that into the forefront?
Largely, yeah. I'm actually, my 16-year-old is doing quite well. He's doing very well. And
okay.
My 13-year-old, I'm sorry.
13-year-old, got it.
Yeah, most concerned about. But I'm sorry. So the question is, how do I...
How do you open it up to his agenda as much as your agenda?
Well, that's where I don't know. That's where I'm wondering. It's like, okay, how much? I'm like, I've been giving him a lot of independence, and just, you know, I'll pop in here and there, or ask him or remind him how's it going. You know, have you done your homework? And you know, how can I be of any help? And I'm trusting him to, you know, when he says yes, I'm letting it go at that. But I don't know. Then there's another part of me that wonders. Well, then I follow up and look at a time. You know, the actual grades, and if he has turned in assignments, and so far he has, and he's doing quite well. But yeah, I don't want to get overly involved where I'm nagging him and make, you know, because I know that in the past, you know, creates a lot of emotional conflict, or you know, then he's.
Want to bring you back, Tess, because I feel like we've kind of danced around this topic. So if you were gonna, I'm gonna ask you the same question I asked kind of everybody else. It's kind of like, if you had a bottom line where you want to take aim for the next couple weeks, how would you respond?
I think I would just continue to, you know, just ask them, you know, how things are going, you know, to keep the line of communication open and ask them, you know, how things are going, and maybe have them, you know, show me his schedule or calendar for the week, or do, you know, let me know this plan for the week of, you know, what he needs to do and get done, and what, you know, what's coming up to kind of help him stay on track. I don't know. I want to be supportive, you know, and at the same time, I want him to have as much independence and, you know, learn how to take responsibility. And then, I don't know.
So what if you took aim on one area and helping him increase his independence? Which area would you pick?
Well, it would be, yeah, his homework, which right now, I mean, I'm letting him just do on his own and, you know, not really, you know, following, you know, I don't know, I'm not really doing a whole lot there. I'm just, you know, making sure, or, you know, letting him complete it and do it. I think the thing that just bugs me at times is when he'll be on his computer playing games instead of doing his homework. But then it seems after reminding him a couple of times, then he'll, you know, he'll turn it off and then get to the work. And then he seems to he'll get it all done. It's just maybe later than I thought. You know, like in my mind, I'm thinking he should get it done first, you know, first thing. I'm not first thing when he gets back home. I know he needs that outlet. He needs just the downtime. But then, and he's busy with other activities. Like he's practicing with his golf, or, you know, doing a workout, or training of some sort. And then he'll, you know, get to his homework. Like sometimes it's not until the later evening that he is able to get to it. And that kind of gets me upset. Like I'm thinking, well, he should do it ahead of time, but maybe this doesn't work for him.
Right. Well, and I guess that what's coming up for me as you're talking, Tess, is again that dynamic of, you know, when we as parents kind of get this thought in our mind of what works the best for our kids, and how do we balance that with giving our kids space to come up with their own solutions. And so in the instance of homework, you know, does it matter whether he does it first or does it last if it's getting done? If it's not getting done, you know, on time, or it's not, and then you can open up the door again. But I guess my challenge to you, Tess, is to kind of take this idea of, you know, putting his agenda in the forefront and seeing what changes for you when you kind of think about, well, what does he want and what's important to him and how can I help him achieve what he wants as much as I'm focused on the things that I want. How does that resonate for you?
Yeah, no, that is good.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I think that's important, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to do our wrap-up. We're running out of time here, and I know I think one person's already hung up, but we end each call with the four questions, and I think we're on page, it's 18 today. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. No, it's page 19. And it's the four questions are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take, and how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I'd like to hear from each of you before we wrap up our call, kind of what one aha and what one commitment in terms of action. So if somebody could start us off, that would be great. Judy, can you kick us off? Nope. Did I lose everybody? You still there?
I was on mute. I'm sorry. I was talking away on mute.
No worries.
Okay. Yeah. So, but my aha, I think, is that I realized I was about the morning routine. Is that I wasn't thinking about what he wants in the morning. I was thinking kind of just what has to get done and how I do it. And then my clarity or takeaway is to ask him to suggest how he would like the morning to look and how he'd like to and how important it is for him to remember things that he forgets, you know. And I guess that's the same thing as a realistic action, maybe.
Yeah.
And then set myself up for success is just to figure out how to approach him without him thinking, oh, here she is again. She already knows what she wants. To really be authentic about and relaxed about it, you know, so asking him what he wants. That's it.
Yeah. No, and I think that your instinct is good, and it's pretty normal. I mean, I think that we reach this point, particularly when our kids are in this age group, where it's like we've got to start putting their needs first.
Right, and I guess the realistic thing is that if he forgets these things, then then he'll forget. If that's how he ends up, you know, depending on how he decides on the engagement, right? So that I have to let go of that if it's not important to him or something like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Who else?
This is Lisa. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if I was on mute. I think I have to reassess where I want to take aim because our mornings are actually not too bad, but my son often leaves without breakfast, and he will just kind of leave the house without brushing his teeth. His girlfriend is waiting for him. So I'd like to get curious about how that works for him to not have breakfast and leave without brushing his teeth. Again, that's more my agenda. But I'm wondering if that you know, if he likes having mornings like that, or if it even bothers him, and if he could change how his mornings go, because you can't talk to him about it in the moment. So maybe in a calm time, like I noticed that, you know, you're not eating breakfast in the morning, and he's a very tall kid who eats a lot. So I imagine that probably affects part of his day. So I think we need to target the mornings, definitely.
Awesome. Okay. Well, and I love that. I call them Saturday morning at Waffle House conversations, because we want to do it when we're not in the heat of the moment and they're not triggered. And you know, and with our older kids, we want to ask permission. So it's kind of like, I'd really like to talk to you about X. When would be a good time to do it? You know, and we're not saying, you know, can we do it? But we're saying, I'd like to talk to you. When's a good time for you? So you're getting them, you're getting permission. So, awesome. Cool. Thank you, Lisa. Let's see, Lori dropped off. So, Judy, Lisa. So, Tess, you want to check out and share an aha and a commitment?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that you reminded me was that I've got to stop putting my agenda, you know, in front of my own sons, and I should be more open and trusting him and his way, you know, and cause so far it's been working, and I was so pushing that you've got to have a tutor, because otherwise he's just going to fall apart or fall behind. And so far without the tutor, because that's what he said, he didn't need it, he's been doing well, and I've got to acknowledge that and take it as a celebration. And then I guess a realistic action step for me to take is just, you know, to practice being truly supportive, and then just to continue to remind him that I'm here to help as needed, and that I can also enlist the help of a tutor if he feels the need for one. And, you know, I guess in the meantime, I can just, I just need to work on my own self-care and getting myself organized so that I'm not taking out or projecting, I guess, my own worries or anxieties on my kids, and just, yeah, creating chaos where it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and how does it feel to kind of sit in that realization?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but... I mean, to admit that, yeah, that I, you know, I like to have control, or I want things to go my way a lot of times. But it's just, I've got to learn to let go, and especially, you know, I've got two teenagers now, and I can't be there all the time making decisions for them, telling them what to do. They've got to take that responsibility and ownership, and then allow them to, deal with the consequences. And he did at the end of last year, but we're starting a new year, and so far things are good. And I just have to, I just have to keep showing up with these classes and work on my self-care, I think. And, yeah, work on my own ADD symptoms.
Well, so your statement is a common one. I think we're all in that same boat. I almost want to take what you just said and translate it and post it on the website, because I think it's really easy for all of us to kind of push our agenda first. And especially as our kids get older, we direct our kids when they're younger. It's what we do as parents. We shuttle them here or there. We tell them what to do and when to do it. And at some point, we want that to shift. And our kids don't do it at the same pace that their peers do. And so we end up in this conflict because they want to be independent, and it's hard for them to be independent. And I think that's what causes a lot of the tension. So thank you for being so vulnerable and honest. And I look forward to talking to you guys again. If you have any questions, post them out on the forum. And next week there's a Lifeline call. And then the week after that, we are back on PSS again. So we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Diane.